Whoever thinks about finishing well? Well, now that I'm 55, finishing well means something to me. God, please help me to finish well. And if I don't read His Word, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And I'm not going to finish well if I am not in His Word. Let me just go over those one more time because I see some of you writing them down. An urgency to seek God more. An urgency to read His Word more. An urgency to pray more. An urgency to live my life wholeheartedly for the Lord. And an urgency to finish well. Well, then in April of 2017, as I was mulling over all of this, the Lord said to me, you know what, Terry? I want the women of Cornerstone Chapel, I want you and the women of Cornerstone Chapel to step out of doing books and Bible studies, and I want you to just simply read my word. I was like, Lord, and this is what I said to the Lord. Lord, that will not go over well with the women because they like Bible studies and that structure. And a lot of women like structure. You know, what do I do? Here's the homework. They like the homework. And that's not going to go over well. So I sat on that for about a week. But you know, sometimes you can't get away from the voice of the Lord. He kept saying to me, I want you to take the women with you and read my word with them. So, okay, Lord, you're going to have to confirm this with me. And very quickly he said, okay, take it to Krista. Because I kind of, you know, when you get to be my age, sometimes you feel like maybe your ideas are like an old fuddy-duddy idea. So he said, I want you to go to Krista. Tell her. See what she thinks. So I said, Krista, if you only had a year to live, or if you felt, if you knew that God was coming back to rapture the church in just a year, what would, yes, amen, Lord, come, Maranatha. What would you rather do? Would you rather pick out any Bible study that you love, like your favorite Bible study? Go through that Bible study, do the homework, do all of it, or would you rather simply read God's word? She's like, oh, I think I just have to read God's word. If I only had a year left, I would have to read God's word. I'm like, okay, Krista, this is what God's telling me. She goes, okay. I said, all right, let's pray that if this is what God has for all of the women here at our church, that He would this summer just confirm, I need God to confirm this for me a few times. And so she said, okay, let's pray for that. You know, God's not above, you know, answering our prayers. She said, okay, so we prayed. About a week later, I was in my office at the church, and my family, my kids, were walking by. It was a Wednesday. They were going to go out to lunch with their dad, Gary, and Gary and Tyler had kind of already walked by, and it was Austin and Lindsay. I go, guys, can you come here just for a second? I want to just ask you this question. And so Austin and Lindsay walked back in, and I said, guys, if you only had a year to live, and like mom, and Lindsay's like, Mom, are you okay? Honey, yes, nothing is wrong. I'm asking you. If you only had a year to live, or if you knew the rapture was going to come next year, would you rather pick out your favorite Bible study and be very diligent and do your very favorite Bible study, or would you rather read through the Bible and just read the Bible? And they both said together, if I only had a year to live, I would have to read the Bible because there's no comparison. I would have to read the Bible. So I said, okay. And I said, hey, Linz, when you get back from lunch, could you just come back in with me and let's read the first five chapters of Matthew together? I just want to see how long it takes. She's like, Mom, I am so busy and I can't just come in here and just read. I said, I promise you, let's just see how long it takes. So she said, well, I got to ask Dad. So she came in back to my office and we read Matthew 1 through 5. Do you know it only took us 20 minutes? She's like, oh, Mom, I thought that would take us like an hour. I said, see, no, that's what the enemy wants us to think. Like reading the words, like, oh, that's way too much. That's going to take a chunk of my day. I don't have that much to give. We read Matthew chapters 1 through 5 in 20 minutes. It was awesome. It was like the best part of my day. And Lindsay's like, Mom, this was awesome. Thank you. I loved it. So Krista was confirmation number one. My kids, number two. Okay, number three. That summer, our family went to Lake Lure. I'm going to try to go really fast. After that week, we went to the Billy Graham Museum. And we were walking through it's in North Carolina, I think. We were walking through the museum, and everybody was kind of ahead of me. This is the way it always works. I am slow. I take my time. And I stopped because there's a newscaster. I think it was Diane Sawyer. She was interviewing Billy Graham when he was probably maybe 90. It was only just, I don't know how old he was when he went to heaven, but he looked to be about in his late 80s or 90s, and she was interviewing him. He had finished all his touring, and she said, my question for you, Dr. Graham, is do you have any regrets? You know, you've come to the end of your life, and you have finished all of your preaching tours and finished all your evangelism, and I'm kind of just caught up in her interviewing him. And I just loved Billy Graham. We used to watch the Crusades when I was a little girl at our home, and I thought, wow, I was betting that he was going to say, I didn't spend enough time with my kids. So I was just waiting for his answer. And he said, yeah, you know what? I do have one regret, and I regret that I did not read the Word of God more. She's like, oh, it caught her off guard. It's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I thought maybe you would have said that you didn't go to more countries. And then she said that maybe you didn't spend more time at home with your kids. And he said, no, Diane, when you get to be as old as I am, he said, my one regret is that I did not spend more time in God's Word. And the flush just went off in my mind, like, oh, yes, Lord. Spending time in your Word, reading your Word. This is what you're trying to tell me, like another confirmation. I was like, okay, yes, Lord, I'm getting it. Okay. I think it was in July. Okay, so that was June. I think it was in July. Gary and I flew to California for a pastor's conference. It was Raul Reese's church. We were a little late. We walked in to the back, and quickly I prayed, God, if you could just give me one more. If you could just say it one more time, Lord, just give me one more confirmation. I promise I'll do it. Just one more. And you know, I'm not sure if I prayed it going into the conference or if I was on the plane. I'm not sure. Because my thought wasn't that the confirmation was going to necessarily happen at the conference. I was just in that mode of needing confirmation from the Lord. So we walk in, actually, as Raul Reese was praying. So maybe that's why I was praying too, like, Lord, if you could just give me, I promise, if you give me one more, if you say it one more time, I will do it. So we were all standing. There's about 1,000 of us in there, pastors with their wives. And Pastor Raul Reese's assistant comes to the platform, and he said, you know, before we get started, I just really feel like the Lord is telling me that a lot of you have come and you're needing confirmation from the Lord about things that, you're asking from him, and I'm just like grabbing the seat in front of me and just going like this. And he said, and this is the place to be, because God is going to confirm whatever you're asking for in your heart. God is going to confirm things, whatever you're asking for, he's going to confirm. And I'm so glad that you're here, because God is going to speak to you and he's going to confirm things in your life. I was like, okay, God, I'm ready for it. How are you going to say it? And so then the next sentence that he said was, and I'd like to share our theme for this week. The theme of our pastor's retreat is 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. And I began to cry. And I said under my breath, I was like, oh God, thank you. Yes, I'll do it. And Gary was like, what are you saying? Like, what are you doing? I had not shared any of this with him. Nothing. Because sometimes when it's just you and God, and you're trying to find out what is he trying to say to us. And I said, oh, I'll tell you later. I sat down and I thought to myself, I have never seen that verse in the Bible. Never. Where? So it's like, okay, 1 Timothy 4:13, I've got to look it up. And sure enough, it said that. Until I come, devote. Now, I've realized now that's Paul saying that to 1 Timothy. Until I come to visit you, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. But that can be God saying to us as a church, until I come to get you, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. And I said, okay, God, I will bring them with me. We will do this. So that's why we are here, to devote ourselves to the public reading of Scripture. And you might wonder, like, how is this going to work? And it works really easy. We just take turns reading out loud. Let me take you, before we begin Galatians, to 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a New King James Version, it's okay. When you get to church, you can pick one up, because here's the thing. It's really good if you can get a copy of this, and we can all be reading together, and then it can just all flow. You know, when Pastor Gary's reading from the New King James and you've got the NIV, sometimes the words are, and this is not like, you know, a matter of salvation. Like, if you don't have the New King James, you know, like, if you want to read your NIV along with this, that is totally okay. I'm just saying that if we're going to read from the New King James, and it might flow better for you, especially if you want to be a reader, if you want to read out loud, please read from the New King James Version so that it'll flow good for all of us. And you can always pick one up in the back. Oh, thank you, Kelly and Steph. They're going around passing them out. Okay, so we're at 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice. This is not Galatians. This is just me saying. We're not reading Galatians yet. I'm sorry if I said 2 Peter.
You said
1 Peter. Did I? Okay. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You see, that's what I want for us. I want us to grow by the pure milk of the word. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you here in this room, and I want you to raise up your hand, have tasted that the Lord has been gracious to you? Yes. So we have all tasted that the Lord is gracious. So this verse is for us. It applies to us. So if we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, we need to lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, and as newborn babes, this is what we're going to do on a Tuesday morning. We're going to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God's word is spiritual food. And now I'm reading, I have a little thing. This is a Calvary Chapel Bible, and Pastor Chuck has little commentaries in, and this was so good. I didn't want you guys to miss it. It says, the word of God doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. And the beautiful thing is that as you plant the word of God in your heart in time of need, the word of God will come back to you. Suddenly you'll find yourself quoting a passage of scripture or speaking some truth, and you didn't even know you knew that verse. But it's been planted in your heart, and the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance. God's word is spiritual food. We grow by it. If I want to be used of God, it is important that I fill my mind, my heart, and my life with the word of God. To have a working knowledge of God's word is vital. And we cannot have a working knowledge of God's word if we're not reading God's word. That's why reading God's word is so vital. One more verse. I want to take you to Matthew 24. Chapter 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. Thank you. This is why I need front row ladies. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll start at verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and I thought of hurricanes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because, and this is the verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. You see, we need to have an urgency to be about the things of God, because the end is going to come. And lawlessness is already here. And you know what happens when lawlessness is here? The love of many will grow cold. And I think that's why God told me, have your women be reading my word so that their love will not grow cold. And you see, how does our love not grow cold? It's by reading God's love letter to our love. It's not going to grow cold if we read God's love letter to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to be accountable to one another this year. I want you to come every Tuesday. No matter what, just do your best. I mean, I know if a kid is sick, if you're sick, if you have the flu, and you're, you know, puking your guts out, it's just better to stay home in bed. Amen. Yeah, right. However, if you're having a bad day, that's the best day to come and to be in the Word of God, right? Amen? Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Word, your love letter to us, and we want to devote ourselves to the public reading of Scripture, because we do not want our love for you to grow cold, Lord, in these last days. And as we read Galatians this morning, God, we need you to speak to us. We need your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, because we come this morning with so many different situations and needs. We're a needy people. And we just need your Holy Spirit to whisper. We need you, Lord, to whisper into the deepest parts of our hearts, to reassure us of your love, to show us the promises that are in your word, to encourage us, to comfort us, to exhort us, maybe to rebuke us, because, Lord, we don't want to be living in sin. Whatever we need today, God, you know what we need. And so work in our hearts as you see fit. Thank you for the book of Galatians. In Jesus' name, amen.